Hello, everyone. Welcome to Freedom's Way Ministries. This is Gretchen coming to you. Hello, hello. I'm so glad you're here. This is Gretchen, and we are on part three of our shame series this evening. If anybody would like to come on, let me know you're here. You'll have to hit the star six key to say hello, and then we'll begin. Hello, hello. All right. Well,
so hi, Gretchen.
Whoever's out there. Oh, hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm fine. I thought I was muted, but I guess I wasn't. So I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you are. Yeah, this is excellent. I appreciate you showing up and saying hi.
Yes. You have peace and blessings on you, honey.
Thank you.
Have
All
a great
right,
night.
Well, let's just go on. Thank you. Okay, little bumpy start tonight, but I welcome each and every one here on the line. My name is Gretchen. I'm associate with Freedom's Way Ministries, and Freedom's Way is a nonprofit outreach dedicated to helping others overcome mental, physical, and emotional illnesses. When we teach spiritual discernment to discover and eliminate the roots of the problem, tonight we're uncovering the root of shame. Again, we're in part three of our series. It's pretty in-depth. It's not a lot of fun, but it is fun when you're free of shame. And life is a whole lot easier to live, and, you know, it's just a lot easier in general. So let's just begin. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I just lay myself down, and I ask that you pick yourself up and shine yourself through me. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against all spirits and spirit guides that would have attached themselves to any of your people, and I command you to be bound, muffled, and gagged, hoodwinked, that you cannot implant any thought or torment God's people. And Father, I thank you that you send out your light and your truth, and you lead us in your way everlasting. Praise the Lord forever. Okay, so this again is the third in a series of messages designed to reveal the way that hell has used shame to defeat us and keep us defeated in some area of our lives. Now, to a greater or lesser degree, shame has succeeded in hindering our walk with God, well, with our relationships with each other, and our personal progress. And we are now exposing shame to the light of the truth of God so that we can recognize and remove it from our hearts and lives. You know, as we truly grasp the truth that we are created to be the glory of God in the earth, we can see how shame has prevented us from achieving the purpose of our creation. Our foundation scripture for this series is an appeal made by the Lord in the Psalms. You know, God wants us to recognize shame for the identity thief that it is, and to take its covering off so that his glory can be revealed in us and through us. We can never be the expression of his love and goodness, shining in truth and power, as long as we are in agreement with the enemy, accepting the opinions of the world, and yielding ourselves to the lies of hell. Psalm 4, verse 2. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah, that means lying. Those are those lying vanities that are spoken of so often in the Word. So far, you know, we've looked at the difference between shame and guilt. Guilt is what we feel when we do something wrong. But shame is the feeling that we are something wrong. Shame is that inner feeling that our very being is defective. And we saw the three categories of lies we tend to believe. One, that we're worthy of blame and punishment. Two, that we are incompetent. And three, that we are indecent. And we looked at a few emotional indicators of shame: anger, sarcasm, self-hatred, a victim mentality, warped thinking, a lack of vision, hopelessness, and a belief that we're marked for punishment. And we did all that the first night. And then last week, we saw how shame lessens our choices in life and makes us feel dehumanized and causes us to become spiritually bankrupt. We identified shame as the root of neurotic behavior and character disorder, and we described how each of those swings of the pendulum keeps us off balance. And we looked at a few door points of shame. And I know the Holy Spirit has been working in each one of us since last week, and a lot of stuff is being stirred up, but don't worry, because you can be sure that when this shame surgery is over, that the Lord knows how to sew us up and not leave a scar. The only thing to remember is that we have to stay in the operating room until it's over. Or one way I heard it put was to stay in the process until you are fully processed. You know, and one of the most valuable truths that we can absorb is that the characteristics of our true identity are identical to those of Jesus Christ. He is what we will be when we fully follow the plan that God has for us, free of shame. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, and of course, none of us is yet the true and complete match to the person we are created to be, but still every one of us has the desire to rise to the level of our intended creation. And that is why you are here. So hang in here with us and let's get rid of some more shame as we gain more understanding about it. Our focus tonight and also next week will be on the barriers that shame creates and some characteristics of shame-bound people, as well as descriptions of dysfunctional families and how shame manifests in families to keep the pattern of generational shame cycling. And we're going to give you God's word on the matter as we go along so that the truth of it can penetrate our hearts and break down shame barriers so that we can begin to demonstrate characteristics of God's glory and not Satan's shame. Shame builds walls, barriers to block us from reaching God and from touching each other in meaningful ways. The barrier built by shame to keep us from God is in the form of a lie that we're not worthy of God's presence. And the barrier built by shame to keep us from meaningful relationships with others is in the form of a mask that we hide behind to keep from being exposed as inadequate, incompetent, blameworthy, or indecent. None of us wants any other one of us to see or know the real me, which of course is not the real you at all, but is instead a false identity given to us by demons from hell and the spirit of the world. So let's look at the bricks in the wall that uses shame to build these walls. The wall that shame uses to build these barriers. And we're going to ask you to do something a little different in this session. So as we go through these building blocks of shame, I want each of you to write down the specific incidents or circumstances that the Holy Spirit shows you so that you can take them to God later and get Him to send His wrecking crew to tear down those walls. You know, there are angels who specialize in just such things. And we have called on these angels of burning, judgment, and destruction many times for breakthrough and seen amazing changes in people's lives. Isaiah 4, 3 through 5. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Shame uses different circumstances of our environment to build its barriers. First of all, shame uses poverty. You know, we talked a little bit about this already, but because the world view puts little value on a poor person in poverty has an extremely difficult time accepting that they have value. A poor kid can't dress like other kids, can't go to the same places or participate in the same activities or have the same toys and games as the other kids. They feel outcast, and in many ways they are. Proverbs 14:20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Also, in today's society, the ability to achieve often depends on the opportunity for education, which is admittedly limited in poor families. And so, the poor don't see a way out of poverty. Those who are brave enough to attempt an escape from poverty are often pulled back down by their friends or family. And so poverty becomes a generational cycle, but the cycle can be broken. Nehemiah 9:2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Next, shame uses parents to build its barriers. Parents tend to lock their children into their own ways or thinking and acting. So the degree of shame in the lives of the parents causes them to shame and belittle their children, and the wall goes up. Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Shame uses teachers and their words of ridicule and condemnation to build its barriers. Teachers will often use shame as a means to maintain control in the classroom, and they don't even know that that's what they're doing. Psalm 27:12-14. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Shame uses friends to build its barriers. When our buddies are about to do something stupid, they taunt and tease us to join them and participate in wrongdoing. Or they'll use words of shame to get us to do something we know is wrong, like, I dare you, or you're chicken if you don't. Proverbs 13:19-20. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Shame uses illegitimate birth to build barriers from within. And this is true even if the person is unaware that his birth was legitimate. This person is full of spirits of rejection and abandonment and doesn't even know why. They feel they can't touch God. I mean, they know he's there, but they can't connect. And it's hard to worship. And we dealt with this curse last week, and we'll do it again tonight. Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Shame uses divorce to build its barriers. And almost without exception, children feel responsible when their parents divorce. And then they're shuffled between parents from weekend to weekend. And the other kids want to know why Johnny's dad doesn't come to his ball games. And shame is piled on top of shame in the child's life. Job 6:27. Yea, you overwhelm the fatherless, and you dig a pit for your friend. Shame can even use marriage to build barriers. So one or both of the couple develops techniques to shame the other. An example is the woman who says, I have 3 children, 2 sons, and my husband. Or the husband who says, if you'd like to lose some weight, come eat at my house. My wife's a lousy cook. You know, any of these kinds of belittling statements will cause shame. And typically in a marriage, 2 demons stuck to the shame are confusion and misdirection. They cause us to do nothing or to do the wrong thing, which of course causes even more shame. 1 Peter 3:8-10. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Shame uses the media and worldview to build its barriers. Advertisements can make us feel less than wonderful if we don't buy the product, and it also has us comparing ourselves to unrealistic role models. Today's television sitcoms and even the cartoons are shame-based and present a false notion that it's okay to dishonor each other, to tease, to expose, to make fun of hurtful things, to put down our friends and our family members. And this is especially true of father figures. I mean, men are made to look stupid and considered lesser beings. Nahum 3:16. You have multiplied your merchants above the stars of heaven. The canker worm spoils and flies away. All these circumstances are used by shame to build its barriers and keep God's people bound. And in our first teaching, we talked about a few emotional indicators of shame. And now we're going to give you some characteristics of shame-bound people and ask you to take an objective look at yourself and see how many of these apply to you. Now, please note, I did not say how many of these apply to someone else. or someone else you know, don't be a shovel Christian shoveling it on to the next guy, but simply and honestly examine yourself. So ready? Here we go. A shame-bound person is driven to help others. This is much more than just having a God-given desire to lend a helping hand. It is a feeling of drivenness, like you have to be the rescuer. The underlying belief is, to have value, I must help those in need. Not helping makes the shame-bound person feel as though he has no worth and brings his own shame to the surface in a painful way. A shame-bound person is always fighting for the underdog and feels anger over the injustice or ill treatment of others, again believing they have to rescue the abused. A shame-bound person has a deep need to be in control. This stems from the fear that something might go wrong and cause embarrassment. Shame-bound people are performance-oriented. They believe that they have to perform to be accepted, and love is something that they must earn. This is often extended to others through ungodly expectations. Often, shame-bound people live vicariously. Their life is centered in the achievements and accomplishment of their spouses or their children. This person has no sense of personal identity and will usually introduce themselves as John's wife or Mary's mother. And sometimes this person will push a child into doing something the parent was unable to do, or something the parent did and can no longer do. A big example is pageant kids. Many of them are simply being the expression of mom's dream. And there are many unathletic sons who are shamed into playing a sport and then shamed because their performance when they do. A shame-bound person falls into a pattern of shaming others. He becomes the judge of what's right and wrong and feels a strong urge to set the record straight and not let anybody get by with it. Shame will not allow this person to be silent. A shame-bound person takes in information and filters it to rank themselves in society and is always comparing himself to others. In other words, how important am I in my family, at my job, in church, or at school? Am I as valuable as others? Am I as spiritual? More spiritual? A shame-bound person strives for higher and greater standards and is always pushing the limit. This person has to have name brands, the latest of everything, and nothing else is good enough. Shame-bound people see the negative in others, and this trait strengthens their shame. A person can have a dozen good qualities, but we see the one single failure and focus on it. Shame-bound people don't feel as if they belong anywhere. They are always thinking of themselves as being on the outside looking in. Even if they are invited, they often won't go, or if they do go, they won't join in. And most of the time, this person will not accept an invitation because deep down, they don't feel worthy. A shame-bound person may have thoughts or even the action of suicide. This is the ultimate rejection of self, others, and God. Pride is always attached. Shame-bound people often have eating disorders. Shame-bound people often mold themselves into being something the person they are with. Shame-bound people often mold themselves into being something the person they are with wants them to be. This causes the shame-bound person to act differently around different people. Shame-bound people lose hope. Shame-bound people have a lack of understanding about basic modesty. You know, this one is a little strange because it will set us up for indecency, which causes more shame. Basic modesty dictates brothers and sisters shouldn't be bathed together after a certain age. It teaches us to respect each other's privacy in the bathroom and to dress properly. In today's world, it's considered acceptable to boys to let their pants hang down and show their underwear. That's a lack of understanding of basic modesty, and you can be sure there is shame in them. Young girls are wearing less and less, and it's been said that the degeneration of a society is related to and reflected by its state of undress. Confusion is a characteristic of shame. The person has little sense of purpose or direction, can't make clear decisions, and is unable to properly relate to others. Self-pity is another characteristic of shame. This will turn us inward and shut people out. We can't see God's best for us, and we wallow in the defeats and hurts of our past. Shame-bound people are oversensitive to criticism. They are very critical of others, but can't take criticism themselves. Criticism is either dismissed as you're wrong, or the criticism is taken personally. You don't like me. Self-focus is a characteristic of shame. We believe others are talking about us, and we are also quick to see our own imperfections. A shame-bound person places high value on appearance. We don't want to be seen unless we are perfectly put together. Don't go out without makeup, properly dressed, and so forth. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking your best, but remember, clothes don't make the man. Character makes the man. General dissatisfaction is another characteristic of shame. A shame-bound person is not happy with what he has. He feels unfulfilled. Nothing is ever enough. This person will always complain about what he did not get done. A shame-bound person has a fear of relationships. They seldom have deep and meaningful relationships, either with a spouse or friend, or in their families. This person won't let others in. He fears exposure and can't face reality. A shame-bound person is emotionless. Their feelings have brought pain to them in the past, and so they repress emotions until they simply don't feel anything. A shame-bound person needs to feel or appear superior. In many cases, pride and arrogance become the front man for shame. This person can't ask for help, is fiercely independent, and acts, maybe even believes that they don't need anyone. However, as we revealed last week, all people need certain things. If there is not a special someone in your life who meets all these needs, then it's unlikely that one person could meet them all. Remember that God wants to meet these needs in your life. We need to be loved unconditionally. Romans 5:5-8. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to feel we have intrinsic value. Psalm 139:13-14. For you have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We need to feel a measure of power in our lives. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to be acknowledged or known. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Psalm 139:16-17. Your eyes did see my substance, which yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! We need an avenue by which to be heard so that we feel important. Psalm 107:6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. 1 Kings 9:3. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. We need to feel that we are protected by someone. Psalm 7:10. My defense is of God, which saves the upright in heart. Psalm 94:21-22. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. We need to feel understood when we express ourselves. Psalm 139:3-4. You compass my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every one of these human emotional needs can be fulfilled in the Spirit by our living God. You know, sometimes He uses people, and sometimes we just have to turn to Him alone. Our human physical needs are also met by God. And sometimes His provision is sent through people, and sometimes it is simply supernatural. Whatever the channel of provision, the source remains the same. Our loving Father God. And as we said before, the Lord did not create us to be independent. He created us to be dependent on Him and interdependent on each other. You know, it's all about relationship. So let us now come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace, because we all have needs. We need the truth of God to dispel the lies of hell and turn us from the darkness of shame to the light of glory. So I'd like you to repeat after me this prayer, and then I'll do a little praying on my own. So thank you, Father God, for your truth. Thank you that you love me unconditionally. Thank you for assuring me of my value, for giving me your power. Thank you that you know me even better than I know myself. And you are teaching me who I am. Thank you for listening when I cry out to you and showing me that I'm important to you. Thank you for protecting me and for understanding me. You are an awesome God. Lord, I recognize that I have allowed shame to build barriers in my life. Walls have kept you and others out, and that have imprisoned me. I repent to you, Father, for hiding behind those barriers and for presenting a false identity to myself and others. And Father, I can see that even though I may have been poor, I am not poverty. There is no shame in the poverty I experienced. And I am not defined by poverty. I can see that even though my parents, my teachers, my spouse, and my friends laid shame on me, I am not shameful, and I am not defined by shame. I now understand the curse of illegitimacy. I take responsibility for it and I give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not defined by the circumstances of my birth or the circumstances of the births of my ancestors. I can see that shame has taken occasion of divorce to build a wall in me. And I declare, I want that wall torn down. I am not defined by the divorce of my parents or my own divorce. Lord, I repent for falling into a worldview and for dishonoring myself and others because of it. I am not defined by the world. I break all agreement now with every characteristic of shame that was mentioned here. I ask to be forgiven for participating with shame and exhibiting those characteristics. And I ask that the curse be broken. I am not the rescuer. I am not defined by a drivenness to help. And I will consult you, Father, in every circumstance. I give up the need to be in control, Lord, and I turn all control over to you. I declare, I will no longer be performance-oriented or try to earn love, and I will not live my life through the lives of my children or my spouse. My identity is not in another human being. And I ask you to forgive me, Father, for shaming others, for comparing myself to others, for seeing the negative in myself and others, and for not being content with what you have given me. Father, forgive me for seeing myself as an outcast, for losing hope, and for molding myself to be whatever people want me to be. Forgive me for agreeing with thoughts of suicide and confusion, for being obsessed with outward appearance, for dissatisfaction and complaining, for wanting to feel superior, and for being overly sensitive to criticism. Help me change my focus from inward and backward to upward and outward so that godly emotions are fully restored in me and I can release all fear of relationships. I ask you to send your angels of burning judgment, and destruction, Father. Your demolition crew to tear down all barriers in my life that have been built by shame. And to put to flight all ungodly spirits that have settled in my heart and created patterns of shame in my thoughts and actions. You, Lord Jesus, are my deliverer. And I call on you now in my trouble because you save me out of my distresses. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that cleanses me of shame and restores me to glory. Amen. Praise God. Good job, everybody, getting through that. Tell you what, I'm sweating. All right, so I'm going to do a little deliverance now. Praise the Lord. So, Father, I thank you and praise you. You did not give your people a spirit of shame, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, I thank you. And I just take authority now over every brick in the wall that has built this stronghold of shame. I take authority over all spirits behind poverty, and I speak to and cast out all shame behind poverty in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pull you down from your stronghold and cast you far from God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I tear down the wall, the brick in the wall that your parents and parents in your generations have caused. I cast out shame coming in through parents. I cast out shame that came in through teachers and door points of condemnation in public in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I don't know who that person was who spoke those things over you, but I cancel those curses now, and I say, not on my watch. The Lord himself rebuke you, shame, through me. I turn you up on your head and command you to rise out of those people now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be gone now. And let God's people go. I speak again to shame coming through any authority figure. I don't care who it was, teacher, parents, friends, get out now in Jesus' name. All condemnation from friends, go now. I cast you out. I cast out shame behind illegitimate birth, from divorce, marriage, media, and the worldview in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I speak to those door points and I command them to be closed, sealed by the blood of the Lord, and that every demon be separated from God's people in this time, space, and dimension in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I take authority and cast out shame behind drivenness, shame behind fighting. Get up and go now in Jesus' name. Shame, I cast you out behind the need for control in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command self-pity to go, sensitivity and self-focus in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I speak to every spirit of pride, self-pity, self-pity, confusion, hopelessness, helplessness, get out now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I speak to the spirit behind suicide, eating disorders, conditional love. I've had enough of you speaking to God's people. I pull you out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I speak now to that strong man of shame, self-pity, and you unclean, unloving spirit. I break your hold in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, I thank you that it is your job to clean these people out. Father, I send far from everyone in the sound of my voice, every spirit or spirit guide that has attached itself to them in any way, shape, or form. And I praise you, Lord, for their freedom. And I stand in the gap, Lord, and I take back for them everything that you want for them to have. I take back for them unconditional love, and I release it into the atmosphere, into their lives, into a reality that cannot be denied. Thank you, God. I take back for them and release value and worth, the worthiness that you, who breathes out the stars, would form and fashion each one of us. I take back for you power. Power in your life to change this reality into a better one. I take back for you acknowledgement and being known. Lord, you know all things, and I pray you would open your people's eyes, hearts, and minds to the wonder and the splendor of what and who they are. And I take back for them an ability to be heard and to know that they are important, not just to you, Lord, but to others. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing. You are so faithful, Father. I praise you. You did not give us a spirit of shame, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week. Vicki does Monday. I'll do Friday on session 4. And as she didn't take questions or comments, but just wanted God to work with each one of you where you are as you unpack these bricks in the wall. And I just praise God for you. Welcome you back. If you have anything you want to write to me, feel free. SpiritMindBodyConnection@gmail.com. You can also reach Pastors Vicki and Phil at freedomswayministries.com. God bless you all. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom, forever and ever, ever and ever. In the precious name of Yeshua, my Messiah, and yours, and the world's. Amen. See you later. Don't forget about our Monday line. Same number, same access. Bye now.